Today's reading is the first book of John, chapter 2, verses 1 to 6. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, "I know him," but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did.
Have any of you made any life decisions today? Maybe not. Have you ever thought about how profound a statement it is when someone comes to you and says, "I have decided"? This coming May, Sharon and I will have been married 22 years. But I asked her to marry her 9 months earlier. So I think September. And that was a decision that I made. I made that decision to ask her to marry me, and it was an important decision. It was a big decision. It had implications for the rest of our lives. But whenever you make a final decision and you decide to do or not do something, it is in the light of the other things that are vying for your attention. I made that decision, but I was also thinking, or is it right? Do I do this? Is it right? I believed it was. And this week, or this year, we will celebrate 22 years. Perhaps over the last weekend, some decided to adopt new attitudes or a change of lifestyle, or perhaps decided to take their relationship with God to a deeper level. Last weekend we had New Year, New Year's Eve. Many people say, "Oh yes, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I have decided blank, blank, blank." They want to do something to change themselves. Okay, maybe you didn't make any life choices today, but what about the daily choices we all have to make? Do these daily life choices impact your decision to follow Jesus? Your decision to follow him. Do these daily choices outweigh your decision to follow him? Well, I would say yes. For so many of us, me included, we have life and life gets in the way. It shouldn't, but it does. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. There is something that we need to understand if we're going to purposely follow Christ. Fellowshipping with him, walking with him, walking the way he walked. Now, whilst on sabbatical, I didn't just spend 3 months sitting on a beach. I did spend some days sitting on the beach, but not the 3 months. And I believe God reinforced that Bourne Baptist Church is to be a fruitful tree. And they believe it's through revealing his desire for us as a church to be a people that are being his disciples. Each of us throughout each day have decided whether we will follow Jesus or not. If you have said yes to Jesus, if you've said yes to Jesus, it's a toughie. It's a toughie because it's saying, yeah, I believe in him and I'm going to walk his way. It's not just about, yeah, I've said yes to Jesus, so I just turn up on a Sunday morning, sit down and go, lovely, thank you for entertaining me. I'm not here to entertain you. Get that out of your heads now. Okay? I'm here because I want to give glory to God. I'm here because I want to encourage you to give glory to God. I've got to encourage you and us to get off our backsides and live for him. If we say yes to Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of all creation, then we need to step up. We need to step up. I have decided to live in Jesus. That is one of the things that we have. If you say yes to Jesus, that's what you're saying. When we decide to live in Jesus, we are choosing to remain in with him, to dwell with him, to find the source of our daily life in him. That perpetual presence of Christ in our lives speaks of the relationship we have with him as Christians. Paul told those gathered in Athens who were ignorantly worshipping, in him we live and move and have our being. Acts 17:28. Jesus is our life. It is the life given by God to us that defines who we are and gives us the substance of our existence. We exist in Christ and for Christ. John, in his gospel, says, remain in me and I will remain in you. This is what Jesus is saying. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Unless you remain in me, I am the vine, you are the branches. If man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from him, we can do nothing. We might think, oh, I can do all sorts. I'm quite capable. And yes, we are. Because he's given us free will. He's given us choice. But we can do so much more with him. John 10:10, one of our previous verses, I have come to give life and to live life in all its fullness. Jesus is the one and the one alone who gives us life. I don't know what sort of a week you've had. Beginning the year, you might have thought, great, new year, new me. 2 hours in, oh, this is rubbish. I don't know. But you know what? Life is hard. Life is really hard, isn't it? We have people in this church who say, do you know what? Yeah, you're right there. there is something more than this. But we never know it until we follow after the one who calls us and says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Matthew 11, 28. If in this week that you felt, do you know what? Have that verse. "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." That is speaking of the relationship. I hope if Sharon is feeling weary and burdened, she'd come to me and I'd help try and give her some rest. I'd take on some things to enable her to rest. God does that. So, moving on then, I have decided to follow Jesus. If we're saying whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did, then we're saying, okay, I'm going to live for him. I'm going to live as he did. What did Jesus do? He lived a life that was honouring, that was pure, that was serving, compassionate. He led by example. If you don't know him, he's worth knowing. If you don't know him, he is worth knowing. And there are people in this space, in this room, there are, I don't know how many of us here this morning, and the good proportion would say, yeah, do you know what, that's true. So if you don't know him, look around and see other people and think, well, maybe they've got something that I need to have. I want you to consider making the decision to start following. Let your relationship with Jesus reform your heart so that your beliefs about Jesus will bring him to the center of your being. It's not just head. We need to stop being people who travel along with Jesus and become trapped. You know, I'm with Jesus. We travel along with him. We need to be transformed. I need to be transformed because I know I'm not there yet. You might think, oh no, but you're the minister, you must be. I tell you, I'm not. And I think our elders would say the same. They are wonderful people. Wise and humble, God-fearing people, but they're not perfect. Speaking on their behalf. Whoops. But you know what? I would hope that people said, do you know what, actually, I'm not got it all sorted. If I want to live, it's about, I'm journeying, I'm living with. Must live as Jesus did. So I'm striving to do that. And there are weeks when I do better than others. But that's okay. I'm not, you know, we need to remember that it's okay to fail. Because so often we think, oh, well, if I'm a Christian, I've got to get it right. All the time. Yes, we have. Because we're meant to be that example. But we're going to get it wrong because we're not Jesus. Only Jesus is perfect. Thank God. But I'm striving towards being perfect. And I know at one point when I finally see him face to face, and he will say, "You're with me now, son." And at that point, I believe I'll be perfect because I'll be entering into heaven with him, giving glory to him. I believe that this verse is important to us this year because of this idea of discipleship. I believe God is saying, come on, people. It's about following me. It's about being my disciple. And a disciple is someone who wants to know more, who wants to follow. And until doing so, discipling others. Perhaps some of us would think, oh no, that's a bit tough. Yes, it is. Following Jesus is costly. And that's the honest truth. If somebody says to you, oh, being a Christian is easy peasy, it makes all your life sorted, it doesn't. What it does do, it enables you to have someone walking with you who is 100% reliable. So in the life, when bad things hit the fan, when you are struggling with your health, when you are struggling with relationships, Jesus is there. And he wants to walk with you. God is walking with people now. And I need you to know that. Perhaps some of you feeling, actually, I don't feel it. God is. Because God is God. His heart is for his people. And for the lost. Because in effect, all of us are his people, whether we acknowledge him or not. Last week, we had our first service of the year, and it was a blessing to be part of that service. Paul, my friend, fellow leader, at the end of the service, stood up and says, I'm all in. I'm all in. He responded, he declared that this year he wants to be all in for Jesus. And others then stood up as well. Today, we are considering walking like Jesus. As I said, since October last year, I've been speaking with the elders and others about this idea of discipleship and how we can make this our cultural norm for Bourne Baptist Church. In this coming year, we will continue to work this out in the wider leadership and within the church. I believe discipleship is key to us being a healthy community of believers, walking like Jesus. To make this a cultural norm, it will take time and discussions. It will be something that's going to take a bit of time to get through. The outworking will come not just as this year unfolds, but I'm thinking of 24, 25, 26. They're 2020s. My hope would be that over the next 3-4 years, we will be coming back to this idea of discipleship and a noticeable shift in culture will be evident. So that in 2026 or 2027, we will be a church with young and old in, with families, couples, singles, new, mature Christians, not only being disciples, but making other disciples who are also walking as Jesus walked. If we are saying we want to walk for Jesus, we might have to step up to the plate and do what God's asking us to do. This church doesn't run by myself, by Paul, by Lee. It runs by all of us working together, being involved. So we all need to consider about stepping up, taking on roles, taking on responsibilities. Walking as Jesus walked. He called disciples, says, come follow me. And then he gave them things to do. He didn't say, come follow me, and then just like, you just sit there and watch. And I want, you know, we need to remember that we're called to be involved and to do, not just to be. If you're here on a Sunday, I hope you'd then also be looking to say, well, what's God asking of me in this next week? Lecto 365 is a really good app. If you've not got it, I'd encourage you to get it. It offered thoughts on Friday on the theme School of Life. And the following question spoke to a number of people in this church, who in turn spoke to me and said, oh, this fits in with what I think you're going to be talking about. So I want to leave you with this question. How might I approach discipleship as apprenticeship to Jesus? Because if we're going to be a disciple, we are an apprentice. The only thing is, he won't fire us. The one who died for you is calling, follow me. This year, are you willing to take your faith journey on? I hope so. And I hope that we would all remember that whoever claims to live in him, and if you say yes to Jesus and you're claiming to live for him, you need to live as Jesus did. Let's be people that are actually living it out, not just doing the words, but doing the actions too. Because he says, follow me. Let's pray. Father, I just submit this word to you, and I ask that you would sift what I have said in the hearts of these people in front of me, that you would enable them to discern your truth, your words. Father, we're called to be disciples. We're called to walk not only with you, but like you. I pray in this coming year, we would be doing that, both as a community, but also as individuals. And Lord, for those of us that perhaps haven't acknowledged you yet, perhaps in this year, they might make that choice to follow you, to live as you live, to call you Saviour.